makes the darkest night to shine. It is my Lord who won my heart one day. I do not mind the rough and winding pathway, or mountain steep through valley dark and cold. It is enough to know He travels by my side along the road that leads to streets of gold. For many years I did not know His love so true, until I heard how on the cross He died. I trusted Him and He became my Savior too. And since that day He's journeyed by my side. I do not mind the rough and winding pathway, or mountain steep along the road that leads to streets of gold.
Let's open our Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Last week we began to consider the description of the love of God as found here in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13, that love does not envy. And last week, we looked at the aspect of the love of God. God's love for us does not envy, and that was most clearly revealed on the cross. Jesus did not desire a different path, one that didn't have to go through the cross, but rather because He loved me, because He loved you, He was content. He was satisfied. He was pleased with the cup, His portion in life that God the Father had given Him. So this morning I want us to consider our love for God and how that it should not envy. If we truly love God as we ought with this same divine love, then we will not envy something other than what God has ordered for our life. The word in the Greek, it means a burning passion or desire. And then we looked at the English definition of the word envy. And that definition is a feeling of discontentment and resentment aroused by contemplation of another's desirable possessions or qualities with a strong desire to make them your own. That's what envy is. If we love God, our love will not be characterized by envy. So what does that mean? Are we committed, this is what love is, committed to the well-being of God? That is, are we committed to bringing Him glory no matter what the cost? That's what love is. It is that unconditional, selfless commitment to that which is in the best interest of the one that you love. And so in this case, us loving God, we want to bring Him glory in everything that we do. We want to honor Him. We have a race to run as the children of God. Just as Jesus had a race to run that went through the cross, to the cross, and through the cross, you and I have a cup to drink. we have a portion, that we have been given a life to live. And God orders our steps. When we look to Him in faith, He's going to direct us. And sometimes that path along the road is going to seem steep and rough and unwanted. And that we have an enemy that wants to discourage us and wants to keep us from bringing glory to God, from living for His sake, to honor Him. And Satan is very good at giving us alternatives, envious alternatives. Here's a path that is not in the will of God, but it doesn't lead to all the trials and the suffering in the will of God that you're going through now. Here's something different. Why don't you go this way? Why don't you stop trying to be everything God wants you to be? Because this is a path of less resistance. It's an alternative route, an alternative cup to drink that seems to be more enviable, something more pleasant. Let's briefly look at the life that God has called every believer to in a general sense. We'll start in Philippians 1 and verse 29. And at first glance, as we look at what God has called us to as His children, we're going to see that it may not appear to be the most pleasant way to live life. And then there's going to be the temptation to look at something else, a different way of living, and say, that looks better to me. And Satan will paint it to be better. But if you love God, love does not envy. Love is satisfied with what leads to the glory and honor of God. Philippians 1 and verse 29. For to you, you Christians, you followers of Jesus Christ, to you it has been granted. It's a gift. Well, I like gifts. What's the gift? On behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, that's a gift, but also to suffer for His sake. That's a gift. That way of living, that cup that you've been given to drink as a child of God, that's God's gift to you. It doesn't sound like a gift that you'd want. The way of faith many times is a way of suffering. The Bible is clear about that, despite some of the false teaching among the prosperity preachers of today. The way of faith is often a way of suffering. In many areas of our life, physical suffering, emotional suffering, and even spiritual suffering. The way that brings glory to God is often inconvenient and difficult. That's something that we need to realize from the get-go. That's what Jesus told His disciples. You need to count the cost. I'm not going to lie to you. This path can be rough, but it's still the best way of living, both now and for eternity. There's an enemy out there that wants to keep us from honoring God and from doing what is in God's best interest. But God is faithful to lead us in a path of righteousness. Let's turn to Psalm 73, where we see that there was a godly man, Asaph, that was living for the Lord and loving the Lord and doing what the Lord would have him to do. But then he began to look around, and it appeared that those who didn't love the Lord and who lived selfish lives in opposition to what God has said, this is what's best for you. He looked at their lives, and they seemed to be, and that's kind of the clue here, they seem to be living carefree lives. They're not suffering at all. Satan can paint a very rosy picture, but it doesn't take too much to scrape off the makeup and see the pig that's behind all that makeup. But Asaph was struggling with this. There was an alternative that he began to envy. That looks better to me. We read of his experience in Psalm 73 in verses 1 to 14. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. That's where he started out, and that's where he'll end up. But in verse 2, we see his struggle. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease, they increase in riches. Surely I cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence, for all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. That was Asaph's temptation. He envied them. You can read the rest of the psalm where he comes out where he needs to come out. When he allows the Holy Spirit to wash away all the facade of that which looked so good to him, and to realize those ungodly men and women were headed for a destiny without God, that God was not with him, and all of the rosy picture that Satan had painted, it was a false picture, and that those who fear the Lord really have a life that is to be envied by others. Why would anyone be content with a life that is characterized by suffering and trials? Why should I? Why should you? Why shouldn't we passionately desire a different lifestyle as so many Christians do? The only real answer to that, those questions is because I love God, because he first loved me. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 10. If you are tempted to murmur because of the way that God has chosen, whatever trial you may be going through and you think that God has abandoned you and that this isn't worth it, just go out and have fun. Enjoy life. No matter what the scripture instructs you, you just do what feels good, just like the world does. When you're tempted to murmur against the way God is leading you and you are envious of the apparent carefree life of the ungodly or even of the carnal Christian, stop and ask yourself, do you love God? Do you really love God? It's so easy to say, I love Jesus, but this is the standard by which we measure that love. Love envies not. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. If this is what God has for me to bring him the most glory, then I am satisfied with it. I don't envy something else. The will of God for Paul included a physical ailment that Paul just as soon not had to deal with. But God told him that this is what was necessary for him to stay in the will of God and to do what would bring God glory. Because if he chose a different route and became proud of who he was and his abilities and his talents and his position, if he had chosen that path instead of the path of humility and suffering and weakness, then he would not have brought honor to God. He would not have enjoyed all the blessings and the protection and the eternal reward that God had promised him. And so therefore, Paul stayed in this lane and he says, I'm content, I'm satisfied, I'm well pleased. He was not resentful of his race course that God had set him on, but rather he gloried in the way and in the things that God ordered for his life. Can you do that? Can I do that? Life can get real, real. And unless you have settled on this faith that God is God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who purchased my redemption, gave me eternal life, forgave my sins, and has given me an eternal hope with an eternal inheritance. Unless you are firmly grounded in that, and because you love him, because he loved you when you were unlovable, until you are settled on that, when life gets real, you're going to want to choose something that looks more enviable than this path in the will of God. We need to be willing to serve and obey God no matter what the cost, because we love him. That's it. Is that your motive for living? Your motive for living is to have fun or for things to be convenient, or you're in for a big disappointment sooner or later. The makeup will wash off eventually of an alternate lifestyle. For the child of God that loves the Lord, there is no other path to choose but the one that honors the Lord. Having said that, having been quite honest about the reality of suffering in the will of God, you also need to be settled on this fact, that living in the will of God is the most desirable path of life to be lived. Those who fear the Lord, we should be envied by the world. With all of its suffering, with all the things that are involved with living a life that honors the Lord, we should be envied. Hebrews 13. Only those who walk in the will of God can have this confidence that is revealed in Hebrews 13 verses 5 and 6 and many other passages. Hebrews 13 verses 5 and 6. When I talk about loving the Lord and suffering for Him, I'm not saying, look at me, I'm so poor suffering for the Lord. Remember, it was granted as a gift that you are able to suffer with the Lord, to be identified with Him in His suffering in this Christ-rejecting world, that we might also be identified with Him in His glory. It's a gift that I have to suffer for. Don't weep for me. But understand, you can have this same assurance and this same confidence. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, as God has ordered for your life. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we may boldly say, the Lord, Jehovah, the one who exists in and of Himself, who created everything from nothing, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Those who fear the Lord have the promise of protection in life, guidance for those tough decisions of life. We have the promise of the provision of the Lord in every situation. He will give me what I need when I need it to do His will. I have that assurance from the Word of God. We have the promise that all things, good and bad, wanted and unwanted, that when I serve the Lord in faith, I have the promise that that thing is working for me and not against me, that it is adding to that eternal weight or measure of glory, not taken away from my life. Well, we look at the trials and, I'm losing this and I don't have that. And saints, we need to look at it in the light of the Word of God. It's adding to me, not taking away, when I live by faith, when I trust Him, to know that He's by my side. I'm not going through this on my own. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. That's why His yoke is so easy to bear, because He's carrying the load. May we quit struggling to get out of that yoke, thinking the pastures are greener on the other side. All things work together for my eternal good. We have the promise that God will answer our prayers and supply what we need. We have been promised joy unspeakable and full of glory, even in the midst of tears. Do you see why our life of faith is to be envied? No other life, no other course, race has this promise of joy unspeakable and full of glory and peace that passes understanding, even in the midst of the storm. Only a life of faith and obedience that's motivated by love for God. Hebrews 11, verses 24 to 26. This love of God also will give us that all-important eternal perspective to this life. Hebrews 11, 24 to 26. It was by faith Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We know the passage is familiar, but try to understand what he was refusing. The most powerful kingdom empire in the world at the time, boasted of the most technology, the most military power, the most understanding of science in that day. He says, I don't want it. He refused. What did he choose instead? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He saw beyond the makeup. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked for the reward. Saints, if you just live for today and try to find just your pleasure for the moment, one day you're going to wake up from that dream and find out that it's a nightmare. Only those who live by faith will know the reward of serving Christ in eternity. I don't envy the world with its self-indulgent living and its short-lived pleasures. Such self-indulgence leads to eternal losses, and oftentimes those losses start in this life. Not always. There are some that have the party till the last breath. I still don't envy them. But I can look around and see the reality of the choices that people make to deny the authority of God in their life. And I can see the devastation that it brings in them. And that I can look around at faithful men and women of faith and see their suffering that they've gone through that is real and intense. And yet in the midst of that, there's a peace and a joy that you can't explain. But I envy that. But I don't have to envy it. I can live it. I can experience it for myself. Think of it with this illustration. I love steak. I love a steak meal. And if all I had was a plate of beans and vegetables, I don't really care a lot for vegetables. I eat them. But if I just had a plate of vegetables and beans and I looked over at a man who had a steak dinner with all the fixings, I might be tempted to envy him. Unless I knew something that went beyond the appearance. And if I knew that that steak was laced with poison and it was going to lead to an agonizing death, if I had that knowledge, I could look at my plate of beans and vegetables knowing that it was going to give me life, health, and strength, and I could be very content with that and not envy that man. That's how you ought to look at the world with all of their apparent good life, to understand that apart from Christ, it leads to eternal death. The song says, I have Christ and I want no more. You can sing that song if you can say, I love Jesus with this kind of love. Philippians 3, this is where Paul came to. We'll just close with this. I pray that we would daily come to this perspective of life, that we would not envy something different than what God has ordered for us, even if at the time that means suffering, going through unpleasant, unwanted things, but Jesus is with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And there's a purpose for it. He's working something in us and for us for eternity's sake. And we have the privilege to win Christ if we're willing to suffer with him. This was Paul's desire. May it truly be ours. Philippians 3 and verses 7 to 14. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. See, saints, we're not talking about settling for something less, something inferior. We're talking about making God's best our goal that he offers us, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, that unconditional surrender to the will of the Father, if by any means I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead, that first rank of those who have lived by faith. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And those who will obtain that place, that is a place to be envied, to be at the right hand of Jesus Christ for eternity, to be his eternal partner, a joint heir with the heir of all things. What could be better than that? Saints, may we not grow weary in doing well, in doing the will of God, in living to honor him and bring him glory, because we love him with a love that does not envy.